time is here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the Reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAFA, or any of them, their guys.
Or any of the Anons.
None of the Anons, neither. And not even that well for ourselves, as you're about to find out. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelly.
And Mark.
And Mark back.
I am back from the abyss.
Back from a while.
Yeah.
We've had, let's see, who do we have? We had Kenny.
Okay.
Kenny Potter was on. We had our neighbor on.
Yeah, we just, random people. She was walking by and I just grabbed her.
Oh, sure.
Well, she's in the program.
Yeah, she's
actually.
You were doing Woman on the Street.
Yes.
Well, actually, you know what? It was kind of interesting because she's a psychologist who's in the program. So it was kind of interesting. She had like some unusually different takes on things, so it was kind of interesting.
Nice.
Yeah. So Shelly,
what'd I miss?
Well, besides what we talked about before the show,
well,
which we could talk about a little on the show. Shelly, you want to say what your week was like?
Very strenuous and a little bit stressful, and I'm old.
Oh yes, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yes.
Happy 39th birthday.
You keep saying that. I have long since given up the ghost on pretending to be younger than I am.
Well, that's because you had never previously gone to half a century.
I know. I'm 50 farking years old.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It's old.
I was going to say, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I'd go back to 50 in a second
if I could. So I had a birthday. I quit the finance committee in church, and I quit the choir. I created the sweater of crushed expectations and the grim Rowana. I'm learning to crochet actual clothes now, so.
Oh, my God. I got to stop you right here.
The sweater of crushed expectations.
Shelly is working on this sweater.
Uh-huh. It's my very first sweater ever.
And she's putting the sleeves on it, and she puts one of the sleeves on, and I look up at her. It was one of the saddest sights I've ever seen because she had this look on her face like, oh, and she has a sleeve that's probably a foot longer than her arm on one side.
It was like an elephant trunk warmer.
And there's no sleeve on the other side.
Oh.
So it's just this. I should have taken a picture of it, and I didn't, but I should have.
So I had to roll up the sleeves 5 times in order to at least see my fingers. And I thought, oh, this sucks. I'm so upset about it. And I wasn't going to do it. But that sweater is freaking warm, and it's comfy. Well, so good. I've been wearing the crap out of it. I just wear it at home.
You know what that sweater would have been good for?
What?
That Mad TV thing. Lowered expectations.
And then the reason I quit the choir and the finance committee is because we got to focus all of our energies on selling our house so that we don't lose it. And then once we sell the house, we're moving
to Bruce. Tombstone, Arizona.
We hope.
I'll be your huckleberry.
Everybody pray for that because that's what we want more than anything. And so there's going to be some changes on the show. Things might get a little bit slower than they... Well, they've been slower lately because of a lack of things. But
the lack of me?
Well...
Yeah, that's what it...
We didn't record as often.
Mark wasn't here. Show took a deep and direct dive.
Well, yeah, we only recorded, I think, twice when the whole month you were gone, and then...
I think the thing that helped, though, is Kenny Potter downloaded the show 7,483 times in one day.
Him.
But that always happens. Someone's on the show and then suddenly downloads go way up like the next day.
Yeah.
Because they told all their friends.
Well, and they go and they like, they've got it on iTunes and they go, oh, listen to this, this is me on a show. And they do that with everyone they run into for 5-6 days in a row. So they themselves generate like 200 listens. It's all good.
So yeah, there's a little, you know, we've had to have a big moving sale and been trying to clean out all the cupboards, and I've lived in this house 22 years. There's a lot of shit in little corners.
You got some stuff?
Yeah, things I didn't realize I still had, and I'm just baffled at how we've acquired this much crap.
Well, and you know what's funny? I always hear how I am, you know, the biggest pack rat.
You are.
The majority of stuff that I own is in this room. The majority of it.
Not true. The entire loft is yours.
But that's all going in the trash, you said, most of it.
Well, I hope so.
So the majority of stuff that I have, what I have more than anything is clothes. I'm a clothes horse. I got a lot of clothes. However, on other stuff, you know, I went and emptied out a bunch of stuff. I got a big box of perfume bottles. But for packing, like if you went in here, this dresser is empty. The shelves on that thing over there are almost empty. Up above is almost empty besides some old sheets and stuff that are stacked up there.
This is fascinating.
There is not. Well, the reason I'm bringing this up is I think you're going to find that the boxes of my stuff are going to pale in comparison to the boxes of your stuff.
You know, I love how he says your stuff.
Like,
so
just compared to your crap room.
There's nothing in my crap room except for your adjustable beds and an empty desk and an empty armoire.
Our adjustable beds. Your armoire.
Oh, so it's ours when it's, you know.
Yes.
Okay. Whoa. So when we pack up all the boxes in the kitchen, that's my stuff, that's not your stuff? I just want to know so that when I call the divorce lawyer, I know which boxes are mine.
Yeah, the box besides
Shelly, it's all yours if you call the divorce lawyer.
Yeah.
That didn't work so much the first time.
Because you get all of yours and half of his.
Look,
I don't want half of his.
Hey, you know what? You know how I know that all the coffee cups are hers except maybe one? Because she told me these are the coffee cups you cannot break. Now, two of them are from some Milano club where I know that one of them is mine. The rest of them, she decided to get rid of. So I guess maybe she got rid of the ones that were mine because none of them are there anymore.
Every time he takes a cup,
so
cup
out
of the cupboard.
So I'm figuring I have a plate, a bowl, a set of silverware, and a coffee cup.
Which is all you need.
Actually, you have two because you're drinking the one I brought you, that lovely coffee mug from Loveland Castle in Ohio.
Okay, I have two. She's got like 20.
Every time he takes a mug out of the cupboard, I'm like, you can't break that one. Be careful.
Because they're all hers.
Why would you break any of them?
Just because.
You know what? I don't know.
Just look. I'm just looking ahead to the future. I'm thinking, oh, I would really be sad if that coffee cup got broken.
How many coffee mugs have you broken in your, like, existence?
I don't know if I've ever broken a coffee cup.
Thank you.
Now that I think about it. I don't think I have.
Because she's told you not to.
I don't ever remember breaking a
coffee cup.
Because
she's told you not to, right?
You did.
What coffee cup did I break?
It was the one that had the broken handle, and I used it as a pen cup for a while after you broke it.
What?
Give her that one. Don't even argue it.
It was a while ago.
Just give her one.
Okay, and here's what I say. How do you break the handle?
I don't know. All I know is I had one that had a broken handle, and it was one that I saved because it was one that I loved, but you broke the handle on it.
I think she broke it and saved it because she loved it that much.
We bought a set of mugs, six mugs at Disneyland that Peg fell in love with, had to get them. They all had grapes on them. And after you used them about 1,000 times, I poured coffee, I picked it up off the counter, and the handle broke off.
Just right out of your hand?
Right out of my hand.
So you're standing there holding...
Holding a candle, yeah.
Holding a handle.
Yeah. She's like, what did you do? I did nothing.
You're like, I tried to drink this coffee.
Yeah.
You'll notice the handle still securely in my hand.
That's right. It's like, I'm just glad I didn't have it right at my face when it broke.
Yeah.
This
was lifting it off the counter and it broke.
Oh, my God. Now, Mark,
yeah.
you've had a lot going on.
I've been busy. I've got. I ended up.
Do you still have two things going?
Yeah.
So you and yeah. and remind everyone, because it's going to sound weird initially for a guy in recovery. Yeah.
Podcast. Yeah.
What exactly are you
I'm
doing?
I'm director of operations for a franchise operation that sells wineries.
That's. I think that's freaking perfect.
Yeah, I love that job. So I do that.
So if you guys are going to go out and drink again, go to Water's Edge Wineries.
Yeah, just send your friends that drink.
Will you trade them a drink for a chip?
Nope.
No,
I already have them. I already have chips. I don't need.
You're like,
chips.
Look, I got. You're like, I probably already have enough alcoholics coming. I don't need ones that I know are full blown.
I got to tell you the story. So, two nights ago, this couple comes in and they said, "We've been club members at this winery for 9 years, and we have to cancel our membership." And our first question is, well, why do you need to cancel? We want to find out, you know.
We're getting sober.
And she looks at me and she goes, he can't drink anymore. Now I'm like, got it. Let me take care of this. Like, I understand. So, and So I've got this winery in Long Beach that we're building. That my son and I are going to open
and
up.
That's still going on.
Looks like late March, early
stuff
April. We'll have
in
that
the
done.
Progress, right. But in the meantime,
and then our original winery, that the first one the company ever opened,
which is a really cool one, by the way,
it's 3 blocks from my office. The owner closes unexpectedly and sends us an email saying, "I closed yesterday." And it's like, wait a second, we've got a 78-page contract that says you can't close. You can contact us if you no longer want to have it, but you can't close it. He goes, well, I closed. Well, because I have Long Beach ready to go, I also have all the wine made already for Long Beach. So therefore, the owner of the company said, do you want it? So my son and I took the original winery out of the blue on December 2nd. And so I have been there.
And like all the time, every day.
10,
now, let me ask you this, because I know your son.
Yeah.
And I know that your son is the father's son. I mean, he's sharp as a tack. He's a go-getter. When Long Beach opens, who's trekking to Long Beach every day?
He's moving to Long Beach.
I guess I was going to say, are you going to be driving to Long Beach every day?
I might move to Long Beach eventually.
Well, I mean, I know, because that I would think, it sounds to me, and I haven't seen the location, but it sounds to me like the Long Beach one could be a barn burner in comparison. Yeah. Not that Ranch Cucamonga can't be a barn burner. Cucamonga built its reputation on wineries back in the day.
Yeah.
But I would think that the thing in Long Beach is
going to be a bigger thing. We've got a plan, so.
Cool.
It's all good. So I keep my job as director of operations, and I end up being partners in
both
wineries. So, which is going to work out really good for me about a year from now. But right now, it's just been a battle. And
well,
a
you
lot
know
of
how
hours.
When you start a business, is everything's outgoing.
Yeah. So.
Oh.
What?
You know what that means?
What's that mean, Bruce?
Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Kenny Potter, excellent dudes. The gal next door,
not so
considering.
Much.
We didn't really tell her about it beforehand. Not too bad. But it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. No one's got dudes as good as ours.
Ours are good.
That's what Fran said. She said we got the best dudes.
Okay.
Said I had nice dudes.
I've been working mine out for a while.
We have shout outs to Hamid, Damon, Gary,
Dude Master,
Monty, Dedov.
What?
Okay, well, we have new listeners. Hamid and Gary and Dedov are all new. Dedov has a Russian surname, so I'm thinking it's hello, wherever you are.
I wonder if he's from Russia.
Possibly.
Or the Ukraine, or a... I don't know what you call him anymore. Are they
in,
Soviet bloc countries?
He's
they call
he's
him
from
that
Encino.
Anymore?
He's from Encino.
I mean, it
possibly.
Could be Yugoslavia. There could be a lot of countries. Or it could
be Fresno.
A U.S. citizen with a Russian ancestry.
From Encino, I'm telling you.
Anyway, Fran, Bill, Roger, Dave, Randy, James, Jay Duff, new listener as well, Alexandria Stryker, Dan, Jay Duff.
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 Jay Duff.
Duff.
Hillary Duff.
Yeah.
Where was I? Alexandra Straker, Dan, Susan, Mitch, Joey, John, Carol, Natalie, Georgette, Jack, Curtis, Lee, and Jane Lynn.
Wow. We got a crew.
It's like I said, eventually the show will consist of the shout-out list.
Okay, the first one.
I got a thing.
Oh, jeez, oh, Pete.
It's a boozy news.
What?
Happy birthday to our friend Megan Holiday.
Oh, okay. Happy
birthday.
And also
happy birthday.
2 years to Megan.
To Kenny
right.
Potter.
And to Kenny Potter, yes. 2 years to both of them.
Mm. Happy birthday.
Very nice.
Happy, happy.
Okay, Redding, California.
Oh, that's where my cousin lives.
Mount Shasta.
You might want to ask her if she knows this person because this is
not
something
tiny,
I would do.
But it's not big, so.
A resident at the. Now I can't find the place where it's a. It's a complex, like an apartment complex, but it had a name, and now I can't find the name. Anyway, he found a large spider in his apartment.
Did he sit down beside her?
No, but he attempted, and this is something I would probably do. He attempted to kill the very large spider. It was a wolf spider, with a torch lighter.
Oh, and it lit it on fire, and it lit on the house on fire?
The spider ran away on fire. And then, managed to run onto his mattress, which ignited the mattress.
Really?
Then the mattress ignited the curtains, and the apartment complex proceeded to go up in flames.
Wait.
What? Maybe it was an old mattress.
I was going to say, just in the state of California, man, you're supposed to be able to put 70 seconds of open flame on a mattress.
But here's my question. Started the mattress on fire. I would assume if the bed was made in any way, shape,
or form.
Yeah,
I'm going to say it's a
sheet.
Yeah,
it's the sheets.
The sheets on fire.
Yeah,
which ignited drapes. And
I doubt the mattress flamed up right away.
No.
And
if it was a Tempur-Pedic, it would have been making that black, oily oil smoke.
Yeah, oil slicks fire.
There's no word on the condition of the spider.
Oh, yeah,
but
there is.
There was $11,000 worth of damage to the apartment itself. Fortunately, the entire complex didn't burn down. Pretty much his unit and above and below that got smoke damage or water damage were currently uninhabitable.
Spectacular.
Yes. Now, let's see. Oh, this is one I found this morning. Santa Ana, California.
Okay.
Now, they're not really sure. They couldn't say at the time of that this was published, which was this afternoon, whether there were drugs and alcohol involved in this. But I'm going to say that, you know, judging from the positioning of the vehicle at the end of the collision, that perhaps there were some substances involved.
Is it like up in the power lines or something?
The vehicle, two people suffered minor injuries in a crash when a car hit the center divider, went airborne.
On the freeway?
And became lodged in the second floor of a dentist's office in Santa Ana.
So they were going pretty fast.
They were going pretty dang fast. It was a white Altima that hit the dentist's office. It caught on fire. The two people, the car was lodged so far into, just the back end was sticking out of the window. The car was lodged so far into the dentist's office, they were able to open the doors of the car,
and
get out, and everybody evacuated the building because the car was on fire.
Were there any wolf spiders involved?
No, there were no wolf spiders
involved.
Because
the wolf spider may have made his way out of the house.
Was the driver dressed as a pirate?
Yes.
No word on the costuming of the individuals.
Because that then makes the story interesting.
Yes, I know.
Is it young people, by the way?
It didn't say. This story just posted this afternoon. So there will probably more will be revealed.
Oh, so this is breaking news.
Because there may not, you know what, there may not be alcohol involved. But the guy might have been street racing or something. Because to hit a barrier and get high enough to get in the second floor, you got to be going fast.
Yeah. Because cars don't
really fast.
Cars really don't float like they do in the movies.
Yeah, cars don't really work the way they work on the A-team.
They plummet.
Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of, though? It reminds me of, Hard Rock.
Yeah, with the car lodged in
car lodged in the side of the building.
Okay, the next story. somebody is losing their job in Hawaii. I'm just telling you that right now.
Well, it's going to be an opening if anybody moves there, huh?
Yeah, there's a job openings, probably several in Hawaii. Yesterday was the most frightening day, probably in the last decade, for most Hawaiians when a mobile emergency push alert went out over everyone's cell phone to warn people to take shelter because of an impending ballistic missile attack. And it came from the government, from the state. They've been testing because of They've been testing the system, the air raid system and sirens and stuff like that lately because of the escalation in tensions between the U.S. and North Korea, because Hawaii is the first stop on the, you know, blow-up tour. So they've been testing the sirens, and they wanted to test the emergency broadcast system, and they do that on the TV.
But they didn't say this is a test.
On the everything prior to this has been this is a test, but when they did the mobile push notification on the phone, it said this is not a drill. Panic ensued. All the islands, everybody's, they were throwing children down manholes to try to protect them from the fallout.
I have news for you. I have news for you. If you were on the islands in Hawaii, just sit on the beach and have a drink, because it's not going to matter if you're down a manhole. This is not the episode of Twilight Zone with Burgess Meredith where he goes in the safe at the bank to read and he comes out and everyone's dead from the nuclear explosion and somehow he doesn't get radiation sickness but he can read all the books. Yeah.
So state officials have apologized, saying that they did not mean to cause a panic. Meanwhile, there were car accidents. People are fleeing hotels.
Yeah,
they're locking down airports.
Where are you going?
I know. I don't know. They're just basically running amok.
It's like running in a circle.
Yeah, I know, because it's an island.
Although, you know what? I could see trying to book a flight. If you know, hey, there's a flight leaving right now. I'd like to be on it.
So, and anyway, they've apologized, and they will be investigating.
Yeah.
They will be investigating to find out where the snafu was.
Can I just put everyone's fears to rest?
What?
About, how should we call him, Rocket Man and North Korea.
Oh, wait, there's a story on that later.
But can I put a lot of fears to rest?
You usually do.
You know, the United States since the 60s and 70s has been prepared for a strike coming from either Russia or China and the possibility of stopping thousands of incoming warheads. This guy
has three or five.
It's like I think
you only need one to get through.
Yeah, but if we're set up to stop thousands, I think we could stop five. I'm pretty sure. I think any aircraft carrier or Polaris sub is probably set up to take out all of them. So I'm just saying.
All right.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
You're not saying. You're just saying.
Yeah.
Okay, Damon sent this next story in, and we all know what happens when Damon sends a story in.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic. I don't know where he gets this stuff, because he finds it, he sends it in, and it isn't until I read that story, then later on I see it on various feeds. It's like he's got, like,
you have to do a Google search for, like, sexy news or something.
Actually, this one isn't sexy. He doesn't always send the sex stuff. Most of the time, yes, but this one is not.
Oh, yeah, you got our hopes up.
This is out of Moscow. Okay, a gentleman in Moscow, and this guy, he's a freaking dedicated professional. I kind of got to respect this. He stole a vehicle from a training ground. It was an assault vehicle, you know, an armored assault vehicle from a training ground, drove it through the forest, crashing down many trees in the meantime, into the small town of Apatiti, which is just south of Moscow.
Apatiti?
And right into the front window of the family convenience store. He then... and he drove over and crushed a car to get there. Calmly exited the assault vehicle, got out, and on the CCTV, you see him get out and, like, go to check the damage, shrug, walk into the convenience store, take a bottle of wine, get back into the assault vehicle, and back out. That is a dedicated alcoholic.
It is.
It's good to have a good vehicle to go get your drunk drink.
Yeah, exactly. No. The shop was not actually licensed to sell alcohol that early in the morning, and he needed to get his drink on.
Props.
W.C. Fields said you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
Exactly. You got to start early. It was like 3 a.m. when this happened.
That's right. What are you doing, Bruce?
He's looking up the video of the assault vehicle.
No, I'm screwing with Mark's levels.
Oh, are you?
Why, is he low?
Am I low or something?
You look like you were.
Okay.
Is this the right one?
Yes, but remember, I found the magic button.
Oh, yes, you do. That's right.
I found a magic button
in editing.
In all this time when we've had one of us is low, I always have to go out and pick out everybody that's low and boost their level. Well, I have never seen the little drop down. Maybe it's new. Maybe they did an update or something. There's a little drop down button now. And when I clicked on it, there were a bunch of options, and one of them was balance. And I'm like, what is that? And so I clicked balance, and it said it gave you various options after that. And one of them was average vocal levels. And I said, okay, let's try that, because Kenny was really low on that one show.
Okay.
And I clicked on it, and presto! Bruce, who was way high, was now medium, and Kenny was up, and I was like, oh, that's awesome.
They all came to meet you.
Yes. I like that.
Meet me in the morning.
Okay, Fran sent this next story in.
Fantastic.
It's out of Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. Lawrence County officials say that they are concerned about a new drug that has cropped up. You know, because the heroin epidemic isn't bad enough in Tennessee. We now have something called wasp spray dope.
Is it just what it sounds like?
Almost.
Are they making that out of wasp spray?
They're crystallizing wasp spray because the available amount of Sudafed to make meth is not enough. So they're boosting it with crystallized wasp spray.
Isn't wasp spray poison?
Yeah, which might explain what happened to Danny Hollis. This happened just after Christmas.
Do we know Danny Hollis?
Well, we will in a minute. And, okay. And in fact, there are people in Tennessee that know all of Danny Hollis.
Uh-oh.
A family in the store. In the story,
did he explode?
No, he did not explode. Oh. Well, he kind of exploded in a weird sort of way. The Kanan family. The Johnson family. Kanan Johnson was the gentleman that was speaking in the story. His family was hanging around the house not too long after Christmas when suddenly Danny Hollis walked into their home, went into the kitchen, helped himself to a glass of water, then took a knife out of the butcher block, cut himself. To which the mother of the family replied, "You're bleeding all over our stuff. Can you not?"
He then
threw the knife down, ran up to the second floor, shoved an oak dresser out of one of the bedrooms and down the stairs, where it blasted a huge hole through the sheetrock on the other side. Then he jumped out the second floor window, landing on the gazebo below and crashing through the roof, which destroyed the gazebo. By this point, the family had decided that they were going to try to escape from this madman, so they got in their car, proceeded to drive down the street. Danny Hollis chased them down the street, got stuck on a piece of barbed wire fence, took off his clothes to get free from the barbed wire fence, then climbed a tree, butt naked, and when the cops finally got to the bottom of the tree to try to get him down out of the tree, he pooped and threw the poop on the police officers.
So he reverted to being a primate.
That is what this wasp spray dope does to you. I think this is a bad thing.
Sounds like an interesting high.
He doesn't remember
any of it. I've been pretty fucked up in my day, but I've never thrown my poop at the
Never
police.
Reverted to Planet of the Apes?
No.
Cut Damn himself to apes. Bleed all over their kitchen. What? I'm just thinking, well, this is like, remember the bath salts when they first were a thing and that guy ate that guy's face in Florida? This is what's going to happen with wasp spray with dope, I'm telling you.
I love the guy who made the comment about next time, astronauts come back in the shuttle, that all the ground crew should meet them dressed as apes.
just to freak them out?
That would be fantastic. They're all dressed like Zira and Dr.
Yeah, yeah.
What was his name?
Yeah, wouldn't that be awesome?
Dr. Zeris?
I don't remember.
Roddy McDowell's character.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't know. So I was fascinated by that series of events with that drug.
He just didn't use the right amount.
A little bit too much?
Or too little, I'm not sure.
You know, it would be fantastic. They do that with the ground crew. The first time an astronaut says something, they go, he spoke.
I just want to know how it is that they figure out what, okay, we don't have enough meth to sell. How do we stretch out the meth? Well, let's cut it with crystallized wasp spray. Who thought of that?
The same guy who wrapped bacon around a banana and deep fried it. Who thought of that?
Ew. Well, that sounds gross.
If you think about it, see.
Who chewed on leafy vegetables when these suck? What if you just take your teeth and scrape the inside of it off?
True. I've always had that question.
Yeah. Who came up with that?
I've always had that question.
Well, when we were younger and we were doing cocaine, at least we were somewhat smart. It's like people would cut cocaine with vitamin B. They would, and the worst thing they cut it with back then would be mannitol because that was baby laxative.
Right. Ew. Yeah. God.
Yeah, but it
but you looked, were really regular.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, you got to remember, you're sweating out a lot of liquid. You can get pretty choked up there.
Yeah.
No one really noticed.
Okay, because France is not special enough, the Bakers Union has asked UNESCO to list the French baguette as a cultural treasure so that no one can call a loaf of bread that is not a baguette a baguette.
It's a loaf of bread.
They claim that a baguette is baked in a specific way, must only have the right four ingredients, and you can't call it a baguette unless it's a French baguette.
Let's get over ourselves, folks.
And they have actually applied to UNESCO to have it listed.
It is a shithole country.
Oh, let's not even go there. I just thought that was interesting. The actual traditional baguette is already protected in France by law.
Sure. Why not?
So they want to extend that to the rest of the world. And I say
people aren't protected from extremists, but the baguette is protected.
Yes, the baguette must be protected.
How fucked up is that place? It's a shithole country.
Hey, if you can do it, go for it. Whatever. I don't care. I'm still going to call it bread. And finally, wait, what is this?
Does the croissant get any?
It doesn't. Croissant gets no respect.
It gets nothing.
Gets nothing. Which, frankly, I think is way better contribution than
croissant
the baguette.
Is way better than baguette.
Yeah, that's what I think. But, you know, nobody
does
asked me.
Does the crepe get anything?
The clip? No.
Crepe-sous-ay?
First of all, they spell baguette stupidly. There's a U that just doesn't belong.
Baguette.
You sound like Jacques. You sound like Inspector Clouseau.
Does your dog bite?
No, my dog doesn't bite. Nice doggy. I thought you said your dog doesn't bite.
That's not my dog. That Comedy Second was brought to you by Complete Insanity. And finally, in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Where else?
The residents of a portion of Albuquerque have started complaining because the Latino Catholic Church got a new sound system for their bells. It plays amazing.
Loud?
It plays Amazing Grace 20 times a day. And it's so loud that people say that they can't hear their televisions when it's dinging.
Wow.
That's dingy.
And all the coyotes are howling all day.
The pastor has said he's responding to the complaints by lowering the volume, and he shut the bells off from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. And I'm thinking, why do they have to go off every hour?
Shut them off from 10 p.m. to 8 a.m.
I mean, you know, church bells, we've got some church bells down the street that go off, but only three times a day. They go off at 9, noon, and 5. That's how I knew what time it was half the time. Oh, church bells, it must be 5.
If they went off at 10, 2, and 6.
It'd be Dr. Pepper.
It'd be Dr. Pepper.
Well, there you go. And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, Shelly. She just waves. That doesn't translate so well into radio. I'm just saying. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. Welcome back. Your dreams are your ticket out. Welcome back. The same old place that you laughed about. Wow, my.
Well, Shelly was banging on her microphone at the same time.
Wow, that went completely red. Yeah. Just solid red.
She was cutting you off.
I see that. That one thing is the thing that said, you went over your levels. So be careful with your recording. So we have a topic.
And we don't know what it is.
We don't know what it is. So, Mark.
So what it be like? I decided when the new year came upon me that for this year, every month, I am going to go to one meeting that I've never been to before.
Okay.
So 2 weeks ago.
I'm going to be able to do that perfectly for.
I know you are because you're going
to. For several weeks.
You'll be relocating.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks ago, I'm down in Orange County, and I decided to go to a meeting in Newport Beach.
Okay.
Cocaine Anonymous meeting starts at 8:15.
I don't think I've ever been one there.
I hadn't either.
Of any kind.
So I walk into this place. I get there 15 minutes early. I take a seat in the appropriate place that new people who've never been to a meeting sit.
In the back row.
Right
in the
back
wet
of the
brain
room,
row.
Back of the room. 40 people in this meeting. They come flooding through the doors. Not a single person says hello to me.
I was just going to ask that.
Not a single person acknowledges my presence there.
Even though you're new, no one's seen you before. You are in the back row where new people would oftentimes go.
There is not a single person in the room when the meeting starts that was alive when I got clean and sober.
Oh, wow. So it was all young people.
It was all young people.
Which means you by far have the most time. Like
by 31 years, yeah. I had the most time.
Yeah.
I have never been in a meeting in my life where so many people were feeling their way through the darkness desperately in search of a lantern.
So they were all newcomers?
Oh, these people had to go some to be newcomers.
Oh.
This was
the blind
sharing
the blind.
This, there was a girl who has 90 days that was so excited now because she was available to start sponsoring people.
What? If she doesn't.
Shelly?
And she had some serious time in that room.
Shelly?
God, it's like the dark ages of CA.
Sure, Shelly.
That's what I thought.
You had someone that could have started sponsoring at 90 days.
Yes, I know. But if she's in a group in which. I mean, did she have a sponsor?
Who do you think had the most time in there? Was anybody over a year?
I don't think so.
Wow. So this wasn't the cookies and milk meeting by any
no,
stretch
of
the exaggeration.
No, this was
where,
not.
Where the new guy in the room,
no,
where our friend Lee had the second least time with 11 years. Yeah.
This was the Gerber Rice and formula meeting.
So now you're stuck going to this meeting because you're the elder statesman now?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, they didn't talk to
I
you. That's right.
I didn't care enough to go back. But well, I literally sat there. Yeah, of all the things I didn't care about, that was one of them. But I sat there quietly in the back of the room for as long as I possibly could.
2.5 minutes?
No, for a full hour.
Wow, that's a
and
record.
Listen to people share. And then I could hold my tongue no more.
I was going to say, then
oh dear.
You let loose.
And I did let loose. And I just, to me though, it was amazing to be in a room of people in Orange County where there's some great recovery in Orange County. I know a lot of people down there.
Yeah.
And I called a lot of them the next day.
You guys need to go to this
meeting.
I said,
where were you guys? They're like, yeah, we don't. I went to that meeting once a few months ago. Like, wow. Because that meeting really needs just a lantern. A match would be good. Some sort of light.
Well, that's where you tell someone at that meeting, why don't you guys call central office, tell them we could really appreciate getting some people with some time here, and then having, you know, the GSR say, hey, we got a meeting in Newport that is in sorely in need of people with time.
The GSR had 4.5 months.
I thought you had to have 2 years to do GSR.
Well, but if
you have the second most time in the room,
yeah,
true.
Yeah, because
you can't be the treasurer.
Yeah, treasurer's supposed
treasurer has 6 months.
Treasurer's supposed to be a year. Secretary's supposed to be a year. GSR is supposed to be 2 years. But if the person with the longest time in the room's got 6 months, you have to make amendments.
And this was a full participation meeting. Leader qualified for 5 minutes and it's participation.
Oh, dear.
And it is the Newport Beach crowd that is either homeless, all these homeless teenagers, or all the people who are like being thrust from one recovery home to the other until their insurance runs out.
They allow homeless people in Newport?
No, they got a big.
Oh, there's a,
they
there's
got a big,
big
crowd
homeless
of
population.
18
oh,
to 21
know.
Years
well,
old. Yeah.
The last time I was in Newport, it was a shishi rich area. So.
Well, it is, but not where these people are hanging out. So, I'm just there, and I'm listening to. I mean, one guy raises his hand. I get to share because I have not used today. I might still be tweaking a little bit from yesterday.
Oh, geez. So what's he going to share about?
And I know I'm going to get loaded this weekend.
Oh, for crap's sake.
But I got 10 minutes worth of shit to share. I followed him, by the way. I could.
I'm like, this is about where Mark cracked.
Yeah.
The guy before him called his dealer on his way. Knows he's going to go see him on his way home.
Then why are they in a meeting? Why bother?
Because he doesn't
need to get a court card.
Because he doesn't want to, but he knows he's going to. Because
okay, all right.
He met
I can
this
see
girl
it.
In the program, and he really screwed her over, and now she's out getting loaded, and it's all his fault.
Yes, I'm glad he accepts responsibility for that.
I'm like,
actually,
it's
not all his fault. First of all,
I know, like, but let's assign blame.
I'm like, I raised my hand.
Really? You went that far?
I did raise my hand.
Wow.
And some other guy started sharing right before the leader called on me and let him go. And then he called on me and I was
let
like,
let me break this down for you,
I was
folks.
Like, wow. This is awesome. I said, first off, I've never been in a room with people who have so much power. I said, we got a guy over here who can help, who can make people get loaded. I said, but I'm sitting in a room here and I've listened to 20 people share. Y'all a bunch of drama queens.
Oh, I bet that didn't go over well.
I'm like, are you kidding me? And I've listened to some of you quote the big book incorrectly, by the way, but you did quote it. You misquoted the big book. I've listened
hey,
to you
at
guys
least they read some.
Yeah, I listened to you guys misquote the big book now for a half an hour. So the first step is not about
the
first step is not about taking control of your life.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
The first step is about giving up control of your life.
Oh dear.
Oh my God.
Well, this explains why they all have so little time.
But man, I mean, it was just like I'm sitting there going, "This is not like the early days of CA. I was there for the early days of CA.
Well, people were dying,
and people were dying, and they were really serious about." Grabbing onto the program
they were
with
really
both
serious about
hands.
Not dying.
And they were really serious about calling each other out on their yeah. bullshit if you started to share it.
Yeah.
This group was all about hugs and making everybody feel better.
Oy vey.
So this was like the gigantic group therapy session that never gets anything accomplished.
They take progress, not perfection, to the nth degree.
Yes. Yes. Progress for them was, I'm actually not getting loaded in the meeting.
Oh, my God.
Well, maybe that is progress. Who knows?
But
maybe the week before they all had a smoke in.
Did the question come up? Can I see the hands of everyone willing to sponsor? Mark's like the only one with his hand up.
No,
like
it didn't come up. But it was interesting because as soon as I started sharing, I thought, shit.
You're going to end
yeah,
up.
Yeah, someone's
going to I'm going to end up having to sponsor half of this room.
Right.
The meeting ends.
If they cared enough to get
sponsored. The meeting ends. I literally see people walking. And they see me in front of them, and they turn and go a different direction to avoid even coming near me.
Ah, they weren't ready.
Not a single person came up to talk to me after the meeting.
Yeah?
And I left there laughing my ass off. Because it's just like...
Because no one ever told them the truth before.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't happy with me. I broke up their little coffee clutch.
Well,
too
know,
bad.
The funny thing is, and what I'm thinking is, you know, we're trying to move to a town that's got 1,300 people.
Yeah, you got that many on your block.
James and I went to a meeting in Sierra Madre, and it was like a meeting. There's like 30 or 40 people there. But there's not the meeting in Tombstone. My guess is that if it has 20 or 30 people in it, a bunch of them are tourists. You know, oh, hey, let's cool. There's a meeting in Tombstone. Yeah. Let's go while we're here because
– maybe Doc and Wyatt will be there.
Because I have a feeling –
Wyatt keep drinking.
Because I have a feeling that in a small town like that, and you know, because we don't think about it, and we've said it many times, you know, if you're in an area where there's not as many meetings and stuff, it's different than for people like that live here. Because if you're in a meeting that's 1,300 people where everyone knows everyone's
your
business,
sheep went off.
That's probably the meeting you don't want to go to and say you're an alcoholic because everyone in town will know you're an alcoholic. And while we know that doesn't fucking matter, someone who lives in a small town, that might be the only thing that matters to them. Now, you don't have that problem in Newport. Newport's plenty big.
Yep.
It's in a county with millions of people.
Yep.
See, I've been to Laguna, but it was an AA meeting. And you know what? The Laguna Alano Club, when I went there, it was rife with old-timers. There was a crap sure. load of people. I mean, guys with time, guys that were, you know, 70 years old that had 40 years, you know, and like when I was new at the Alano Club over here, I remember there'd be two or three guys with 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys in their 20s, a lot of them. And that's kind of what, but when I went one time to the Anaheim Alano Club, there was one guy with a bunch of time.
Uh-huh.
Then there was me. And then the next person was my guy, Mikey, that I used to sponsor, who had 3 years. He was the third place in a meeting that had like 70 people.
Yeah.
You know, because they did one of those things. And the funny thing is the guy running the meeting who had all the time, they do sobriety countdown. And of course, you know, first, everyone leave your hands up. And then, you know, if you have less than, you know, if you have less than a day, put your hands up. You know, they do that thing like the backwards. So that at the end, he's the only guy with his hand up, you know. And it's funny because he got past Mike and he kept adding a year and he kept looking over at me, you know, waiting for me to put my hand down, you know. And he's like 19 years. 20 years. I'm sitting here. He's like 21. He's like getting like this. It was funny.
He's getting discouraged.
He got a concerned look on his face. Like I might actually, I didn't have more time than him, but you could tell as he kept going up in years and I kept my hand up. I got the impression he was saying to himself, shit, I'm about to lose my status here. Like that even matters.
Yeah, I know.
And James told me that when he moved to Arizona, he had 5 years when he moved there, and nobody in town believed he had 5 years because he was from out of the area. And I'm like, and so the guy, I talked to the historian, or I talked to a random guy in the area over there, and he had 27 years.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm like, yeah, my friend said no one believed he had the time because, yeah, well, probably no one will believe that either. And I'm like, you know what the wonderful thing is? And he's like, what? I'm like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I really don't.
He goes, that's how I know you have the time, because you don't care.
I don't care.
Breaking news. Megan, our listener Megan, just said hello.
Is she going
to everyone in the world.
Is she going to come on Thursday?
Not that Megan. Not Megan Holiday. Different Megan.
What Megan?
She lives back east. She's a show listener.
Oh. Hi, Megan.
And I've been talking to her. Okay. On Facebook, and I've called her a couple times.
Oh. Okay.
Well, hi, Megan. Hi, back. Thanks.
Where back east is she?
Maryland.
Maryland!
Yeah. But don't you feel like when you go to meetings similar to that or things like that, I mean, it's just something that we just kind of go, how helpful can I? It's like the time you and I went to the panel, and I think I had 28 years, and you had 23 years, and we took that girl with us that had like 100 days. And after the panel at Prototypes, everybody wanted to talk to her to find out how the hell you get 100 days.
Right. Well, you know what? And that comes clearly from, because I remember this and I remember people talking about this. When I was at Impact House, you'd go to a meeting and some guy would be running the meeting or something, and he was like the guy, right?
The grand poobah,
yeah. That guy's got 35 years.
Yeah.
Nobody talked to him because 35 years was ridiculous. It's like, no, nobody stays sober 35 years.
Yeah.
But then someone would take like a 90-day chip and you'd be like, that might possibly be doable.
Yeah.
How did you do? I don't want to know how the guy got 35 years because he's lying.
Right.
I want to know how you got 60 days or 100 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I remember that. I remember that now.
Yeah,
I thought you were talking about when we went to the panel and like 8 people were supposed to go with us, and we had like I don't know, we had 3 hours or something. And
yeah, you and I were the only two that showed up.
Yeah, and we went over.
Yeah,
that was fantastic.
Well, we find ourselves very, very interesting.
Oh well, you know, what I find, the longer you stay sober, the more that you could possibly talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, your original story, what it used to be like, pretty much stays stagnant. But, you know, you get to a point where it's like something maybe happened yesterday that you could talk. And so it's like you've got certain points you want to hit. And as you start to hit all that points, you notice that you're running out of time and you still got 25 different things you want to talk about. And you're like, oh, well, so much for that.
We'll save those for next time.
Yeah. We'll save so what do you think, Shelley?
I don't know. I'm texting.
You shouldn't text and record. You should not text and record at the same time. There's a California law against that.
I've heard that before. Texting while radio showing is prohibited by law.
Okay.
Is it
anyway.
Still Megan?
Yes.
Did you tell her we're recording?
Yes.
Oh. Did she say anything specifically to say to us?
Smiley face, hi dudes.
Hi dudes. That's for you
hi
and
dudette.
I.
Hi dudette.
Yes. Hi dudette. Yes. Okay. Now, what's the topic?
In search of a lantern.
Oh, in search of a lantern. I don't know. I don't have anything
to
say.
Go to the light, Carrie Ann.
Go to the light. No, stay away from the light because the light was going to suck her into the netherworld, remember?
We were never sure on that, though. They told her to do both. They confused the crap out of that little girl.
That's true. First it was, don't go toward the light, and then the little short lady said,
go to the light. Don't go to the light.
And then she jumped in the light, and then she fell through, and she was covered in goo.
Yeah. Red light,
anyway.
Green light.
In search of a
lantern. And that girl's career was never the same after that.
She never really did anything else, and then she died when she was 12.
Like four or five people from that movie died within like 2 years. It was like really kind of weirdly creepy.
I've been to her grave.
What?
Oh, and now my mother is calling.
No.
Sorry,
Mom.
Bye.
No, Mom.
I'll text Megan, but I won't answer the phone for my mother.
Yeah.
My poor mom. I anticipate having to probably log in back into some online meetings that I went to. Speaking of In Search of a Lantern. Going off to Tombstone. Hopefully.
Well, you know, one of the things we were talking about is like these meetings where it's like the blind leading the blind.
We should field trip out there Thursday before you leave.
We should field trip out there.
You, me, Carl.
Well, and Marty was saying, Marty's like, you know, there's really strong CA
in Tucson.
Arizona.
Like, probably around Phoenix.
I got phone numbers.
No, there's some in Tucson. You looked it up, remember?
Well, I'll tell you what Tucson has a lot of.
Yeah.
There's a lot of recovery facilities in Tucson. Cause
there's 15.
See, I think of Tucson as being what I remember Tucson being, which was like 150,000 people, and it was a big – well, now it's over 1 million people.
Right.
So, it's not small anymore. I'm sure there's tons of meetings in Tucson. I don't necessarily want to drive 45 minutes to go to a meeting, but I would.
You have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I've done it here. So, you know, go to Santa Monica's 45 minutes. So
something you were talking about when
you were
talking.
If traffic's bad, you could drive to Pasadena. It could be 45 minutes.
Shelly's going to Silmar.
Cool.
Yeah, I have to go speak at Silmar.
At that one club.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I told Bruce I wanted him to go and take me because I don't want to drive all the way there by myself. And then after that, he forgot I said that. And now he's going to Vegas.
Hanish and.
When are you going?
Hanish
next weekend.
For the Super Bowl.
This coming weekend is the Super Bowl?
No, it's 3 weeks from now. It's February 4th. Super Bowl's February 4th. That's a ways away.
Oh, James made it sound like it was
when are you going?
Oh, I'll have to ask him because something's wrong then.
Okay.
Because they specifically said Super Bowl.
Okay. Anyway.
What is it? Saints and somebody?
Saints.
Patriots?
Saints got beat on the last play of the game today. They're out.
So who is it?
Don't know yet.
Oh.
Patriots are playing Jacksonville next week, and Minnesota's playing Philadelphia next week to see who goes.
You know what? And here's what the problem is for me. For Super Bowl, I got to tell you, I don't give a shit about any of those teams.
Right. Tennessee got knocked out yesterday.
If the Vikings make it, I might be inclined to watch
If the Vikings make it, they'll be the home team for the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl's in Minnesota this year.
Ooh, shit.
Yeah.
That'll be a nice game. Anyway,
it's snowing there, right?
Doesn't matter. It's indoors.
It's Minnesota. It snows.
Wimps should be like Soldier's Field.
It snows 9 months out of the year. It's freaking Minnesota.
Yeah.
Something you were talking about the group that you went to see that all the newcomers, blah blah blah. And they were saying this, that, and the other thing. I actually said, stop romancing it in the middle of a speaker share. this last week.
Nice.
Kenny.
Yes.
Where at?
At Thursday night.
Oh, Thursday night? Oh,
yes.
There was...
Kenny was going on and on about cottons and pipes, and I'm like,
okay,
what the fuck?
And I don't
Stop romancing it.
And Shelley, I don't know if you heard it, but I was running the meeting for him because he's secretary, but he was going to speak when he took his cake. Three or four times during his share, I'm like, easy, easy does it. Easy there. Because he's like, you know, and I, you know, I'm getting this, and I've got the lighter, and I'm like, easy does it, man.
Stop.
You got a bunch of really fresh people in this recovery unit.
A lot of feet tapping on the floor.
And you're talking about, you know, and this is back. It wasn't crack. It was really great. It was free brace. And I'm like, easy does it,
well,
buddy.
Well, and to give him credit, though, he, you know, this that was like the first half. The second half of his share, he talked a lot about the gifts of recovery and how far he's come and his relationship with his kids. And
it was
about half and half.
I wouldn't say that he went as so far as to romance.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He was hinging on being over descriptive.
Got it.
But I, you know,
there was a lot of recovery in his share, a lot of recovery mixed in. But the first part of it, I was like, damn, dude, you're making me want to go out. And I've never even done that shit.
I'm speaking in Westwood tomorrow night.
Oh, nice.
Westwood.
Oh, that meeting I went to with you?
No, it's an FA meeting.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, no, I'm speaking in Sylmar, and I've never been to this meeting, so I'm like.
So how do you feel about meetings like that, Shelley?
Meetings like what?
Like the one we've mostly been talking about the entire show.
I don't know. I sort of feel like they need some guidance, but at the same time, it says in the book, though you be but one man with this chip of a book in your hand, the ones that will
talk about misquoting the big book with this chip of a book in your hand.
Yeah.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
I thought it was with this book in your hand.
No, I think the word chip is in there.
I'm going to believe Shelley.
I've never heard someone describe a book as a chip.
Well,
I could be wrong, though. I wouldn't bet money on it.
Not against her, not when it comes to books.
Yeah, I
don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Look
that's
it up.
Problem.
Because the ones that will get it, that will read the book and will get it and will say, wow, something's not right here. I need help. And will get outside help and bring it back to the meeting. That could possibly happen. You know? And it's in God's hands anyway. So I would just say, goodbye. And
goodbye.
Well, if it's not my area, if it was my local area, if I found a meeting like that around here, like, you know, down the street, and I'm like, dang, you know, I might feel inclined to take responsibility.
Bring a few people
and support the meeting long enough to get them to a point where there were people in the meeting that had some time and had some actual recovery. I wouldn't do it all myself, of course, but I would definitely. Bruce is looking it up.
I was going to look it up, but
okay.
That's not it. You know what? Let me tell you something. Google versus Bing. Google way better. This is Bing here. I can't find anything but Bing.
Yeah.
Well, at any rate, so that's what I think.
Okay.
So can we end the show now?
Though you be but one man with this book in your hand.
Okay, well, look up chip, because chip of a book, that word is in there somewhere. May not be that part of it.
Well, if I look up with this chip of a book in your hand, I don't think it's going to say. So, because we are actually at well past the end of our time. Well past. We've had a couple barn burner long shows lately. Shelley, what would your final words on what are we calling it?
I don't know.
Looking for the light.
In search of a lantern.
You were the lantern in that meeting, and I don't think anyone was searching for you. That's the problem. So what would your final thoughts be, Shelley, while you're texting there?
Light a candle rather than curse the darkness.
Ooh. That's not too bad. What would your final words be, Mark?
God has a way of making it all work out at the end.
There you go. My final words would be I think it's incumbent on each of us to become the flashlight in the meeting.
I found it.
Okay.
Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous. Our hope is that when this chip of a book is launched on the world tide of alcoholism, defeated drinkers will seize upon it to follow its suggestions.
Okay.
Yes. So it does occur in the book.
Is that in a foreword to one of the editions?
Yeah, it just didn't occur in the sentence you were using it in.
Yes. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry. Carry on.
I should have bet money on that one. I would have won.
Kiss my ass.
So, Shelley.
What?
Who's the lead-out music by?
Evangelicals.
Evangelicals. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Long as you've got love for me.